tell me, so we'll see about that. It's really all in my hands, really, as to how long I talk for, so we'll see. It's great to see you all tonight anyway, folks. Could you all turn your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 8. If you're a visitor here this evening, you turn your church Bibles, page 1124. And remember reading Romans 8, verse 31 and 3 to 39. Just as a wee way of introduction as to how I came to stand here this evening, my work lately has taken me to work in a wee village called McGabry. And it's been going very well, and there's been no problems in it so far. But near the Reverend Salt, and Jareth heard that I was coming to work there, he invited me around his house for lunch. Great, sounds better than sitting in a cold canteen on a Thursday afternoon, believe me. And so the first Thursday worked into another Thursday, another Thursday, another Thursday. That was great, and it's lovely to be there, and nice warm house and fry and everything else. And so it was fine. So lots of weeks went by, and I was talking to my brother-in-law, and he says, "You know, Robert, you need to remember there's no such thing as a free lunch." And I said to him, "Kyle, no." I says, "It's fine, he'll never ask for anything in return." Until 3 weeks ago, I was walking out of the prayer meeting room, and he says to me, "Robert, do you ever give your testimony?" So, Kyle was right. So, I just have to go on with it. But, Romans chapter 8, folks, verse 31 to 39, is a passage of scripture that has meant a lot to me throughout my life. So, I'd just like to share it with you. Verse 31, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Just those verses meant a lot to me there over the years, especially in the very last piece there. "No height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God." Whenever we are saved, it's a wonderful comfort to realize that nothing can take away our salvation. Nothing at all. It's a wonderful comfort for the believer to know this. But anyway, I was born on the 28th of January 1982. I'm 31, so stop counting. I have two sisters. One of them, which is a nurse down the Ulster Clinic there in Belfast, and the other one's a student living it up in Carlisle. She's having a great time to herself. But also, I have a father and mother. My father is now retired. He was a sales manager for Crown Paints. And my mum's a housewife. She's staying at home to keep minding us. And we just have a small farm at home. We only had 20-odd acres. Whenever in those days we attended a Sound Evangelical Church in Lisburn, where we grew up, and I have some very happy memories of my time at home, and in that church especially, and growing up at home as a child. We were taught God's Word from an early age, as I'm glad to be able to say. We were Sunday school and children's meetings, week in and week out, and we had family worship every single evening at home. I remember plenty of summer nights not wanting to come in. I was too busy chasing cattle or running about with football to really want to come in, but looking back on it now, I'm glad that that is the way it happened. And my father and mother were very strict and kept us every single week. Church was never an option for me. I never had the choice of, is it, are you going tonight or are you not, or where do you feel? it was never really put to you like that. Whenever you were a child there in those days, it was just that this is what was happening. And it stood to me this day, so it has. But I remember in particular, one Sunday evening, Mum and Dad would have had a number of guests around, maybe after the church or whatever. And this day, this one Sunday evening, they had two guests around, man and his wife. I remember specifically them sitting in our living room, telling Mum and Dad how they were saved. And at that night, I remember thinking to myself, you know, they're able to tell them their testimony. I haven't got one. I have been to all these things. I've been to church, Sunday school, you name it. I've sent along to everything. I didn't know everything, but I had a very clear understanding of the gospel. But as to yet, I still haven't made a profession of faith. So that night, I went to my mother and was able to say to her mother, look, I'm not right with the Lord. And praise be to God that she led me to the Lord that night. I was 12 years of age. I remember a few days later, coming home from school, standing in the back door of our house, and I said to my mother, you know, I was immature in the faith at that stage, I know I was, and I said, you know, ever since I was saved, my life seems to be fairly easy for me. But she says, look, me square in the eye, I still remember that look. And she says to me, look, it's not going to be that way all the time. You're going to have Christians who will not have an easy or plain sailing of a life. And she was right. But at that time, I was attending Palm Park Primary School in Lisburn, if any of you know where that is. And then I moved on shortly. Once I was done, went to Laurel Hill High. And to be honest, I felt very little pressure whenever I was at school as a Christian. I didn't really. I had a few Christian friends in school and a good few out. And I attended our Christian Union, which I enjoyed very much. It was actually run by a teacher who was living with us at the time. So you can imagine how awkward that was. But then in 1998, I left school. And I went on to Greenmount. Is Christopher here? No, Christopher not. Christopher also going to Greenmount himself at the moment. So I went to Greenmount in 1988. Farming was the only thing in my head. I said, this farming has to be for me. I'm getting into this. So that was fine. Me and another fellow decided to go. He dropped out, but I went on ahead anyway. It was a big change at that time. First time away from home, if any is going to remember maybe what that felt like. You thought you had the world at your feet, and every option was open onto you. But the temptation to do the wrong thing was very great. I remember, there's no mobile phones, no phone of those days, so weren't as easy to get a hold of. You had a payphone in the college, and that was it. Nobody, mum or dad didn't have the phone number for that. So you could pretty much go up to whatever you wanted. But thanks to God, I had no desire to go clubbing or any desire to go the way of the world at Greenmount. There was plenty of options and plenty of chances I had to do that. But thankfully, and thanks to God's grace, I never did. But that didn't stop me getting up to plenty of other mischief around the campus. I suppose most of my shame, there was many times I was sent to the warden's office for water bombing the farm staff. Or I remember there was one in particular time where we were caught making monkey noises in the bushes. While the parents of potential new students walked by to view the college, that ended up in quite a... that was an awkward one. So, but our middle year at Greenmount sent us out to... We all had to go to farms to work in our middle year. So I was sent to Cary Duff, and that's where I first came across was the Presbyterian Church. Worked with a man called James Lowe, who went to Cary Duff Presbyterian. And that's really where I first got to know of the Free Presbyterian Church. But once Greenmount ended there in 2002, putting all those bad times of mischief aside, I was made a youth leader in our church. And I didn't know what I was up to at Greenmount, but I was sort of, I didn't really particularly want to do it. To be quite honest with you, I didn't want to do it. But I was voted on anyway, and it meant I had to lead youth meetings, and you had to be involved in all these things and planning meetings and different things. I found it very challenging but rewarding. And also was able to be involved in children's meetings and went and outreach teams. And it was quite regular at those things, and I got a big enjoyment out of them. But church life was very busy. But church was fine, but also had to find a job. And after a short spell as a greenkeeper in Edenmore Golf Club, I moved into the construction industry. And Farming, you see, was always my background. That was where my interest in machines came from. So in 2003, then, I got the chance to join MSM Contracts in Portadown. And for them, I've been driving now for 10 years, been driving machines for them. And I get a great variety out of that job. And a great deal of enjoyment. Surely I have days where I wish I'd never started it. But I also have a great deal of enjoyment out of the work. We could end up in any area or any country or any town of Northern Ireland. And without doubt, I can say to you tonight that the building site has probably been one of the biggest tests in my faith. Any of you who have any experience of that sort of phase, Jeff Butler maybe would be one who could relate to me. It's a very difficult environment. Driving machines on site can lead to a fair bit of pressure at times. You could have anything up to 10 trades looking at you at one time, and each one of them looking to see if they can get the Christian to crack up. And there's been some times where it has come very, very close. But in my work, I can feel God's presence with me every day. But many times I have been quizzed about my faith. I never really found any quizzing really in school or in college or anything until I started working on the construction sites. And there's a lot of men on sites really searching for answers. And I have found that as time goes on, it seems to be more and more people are quizzing me more and more. It always seems to happen when you're least expecting it. The Bible tells us to be ready to give an answer to any man who asks us of an answer. But it strengthens my faith every single day, because I know that if I don't have the answer, I'm going to have to go away and find it, because the next day they'll come looking for it. And I have to be able to get an answer for them. It could be anything up on heaven, it could be on hell, it could be death, it could be creation, or even the very existence of God. But I have found over the years that it has been a way of sharpening my faith. We can all be quiet Christian that sits in the background and is just happy to just keep their head down. And I suppose in many ways that's fine, but in your workplace, if your friends know that you're a believer, there will come a day where you will be asked to justify your beliefs. But in 2006, I actually got this year wrong, earlier on, I met Charlotte. I thought it was 2007, I missed a year somewhere. I'm just too sure how that happened. But in 2006, I met Charlotte. And 2 years later, we were married in the Spy Church. And life was never to be the same again. We moved into our house then in Ballinacash Road in Lisburn. And together we attended my home church. But soon we were to realise, folks, that our well thought out plans weren't to be God's sovereign plans. Soon we were to accept the fact that God wanted us to serve him elsewhere. I thought that we thought we had all this worked out and this is where we're going to stay and serve God, but it wasn't to be. And without doubt, it was probably the hardest decision I've ever had to make. You all know what it's like trying to make hard and difficult decisions, but whenever it's to do with your church, and Christians would spend a lot of time in their church and it would take up a great percentage of your life and what you're involved in. And the thought of moving out of it or changing in any shape or form, it can be quite difficult. But it meant leaving all that I ever knew. And I suppose the thought was letting a few folk down and people I respected, but I suppose the hardest part was telling my own folks. But over time, I've come to accept it and things, and God's will be done. So in January 2011, then, we started attending Accolade Free Presbyterian. And we've done a lot of talking and praying about it, deliberating over it. And there's one here tonight that spent time with us, talking to us and working with us. And we'll always be thankful to those people. And I know who they are. I'm not going to mention any names. But we'll always be thankful to them for the help that they give us. But since coming here then, I had the joy of getting involved in the work. And I can't tell you more how much joy it brings to us, how it is to be able to help out in a work like Accolade. We've got involved in the prayer meeting, come along to that, and the children's work, and Charlotte's got in helping out in the ladies' meeting, and leaflet distribution, and different, many different things. And God is using us here, and I am glad that He is. Don't really want to be the person who stands on the background. We want to be involved, and it's good to be involved. And if you're sitting here even today as a Christian wondering how God can use you, even back in the church that I used to attend, and never the possibility come up of being a youth leader, there's no way I'm doing that. No chance, no. I'm far too happy just sitting in the background. But whenever I got a wee push, just a wee gentle nudge into it, and just like even some of the work that goes on here, sometimes you need a bit of a push. one instance, I suppose, Denise can make it relate to it, even with the children's meeting. She probably knows that that's one thing I really struggle with is leading the children's meeting. I'd run out that door a million miles before but getting a wee push and just getting a wee bit of encouragement seems to help you through, and we're doing all this for God and for God's glory, and that is the main thing. But maybe those people here tonight that don't know the Lord, I was saved when I was 12. I had the wonderful privilege of being brought up in a Christian home. And my faithful parents who pray for me to this day. And God showed His love by sending Jesus to die for our sins. And I'm sure Philip will cover all this later on anyway, but I'll just say it. But we must then repent and be saved so we can enter heaven when we die. How do I know this? By the Bible and by my faith. That's one of the questions that the men would ask on the building site. You know, how do you know? Like, you know, you're just reading a book that's been written thousands of years ago. It could be as relevant as the Beano. And I have had plenty of things that God said to me. And I'm glad my faith carries me through in days like that. And I can tell them that the Bible is real and true and relevant right to this very day. And I would encourage you, those who maybe don't know the Lord here tonight, to maybe take a Bible home with you tonight even. And sit and read it, or ask a Christian friend that you know, maybe who you work with. Even use my example, where I have many unbelieving friends and colleagues who aren't one bit afraid to ask questions and to come out with it in the cold light of day and to ask. But the Lord Jesus has been faithful to me, even though many times I have let Him down. Many times, and continue to let Him down day by day. And I am glad that He is faithful to me, even though many times I am not faithful to Him. So I can thank Him every day for what He has done for me. And perhaps one day, if you come to the Lord, maybe it could be you standing here, telling us all what the Lord has done for you.